New Order, here to stay on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais.
We're here to stay.
Yeah.
Over the next 2 hours.
Yeah.
All right.
That's Steve Merchant
there.
Hello
there.
We're here with our producer here, Carl Pilkington. We'll be talking to Carl a little bit later because we've got to have his thoughts on Aesop's Fables, continuing the education of Carl. We've got some great music coming up, haven't
Bloody
we?
Bloody good music.
A little bit of, oh, what have we got? Like Happy Mondays.
Badly Drawn Boy.
Yeah, all that. Bob Dylan.
All sorts.
All sorts coming up.
Yeah, so, Rick, I don't know, I just wanted to bring your attention to this. Someone passed this on to me. It's from the Guardian's media website. There's a sort of website that's dedicated to kind of media information.
Is this about our complaint?
Well, the headline is, Comedian Rapped Over Radio Innuendo.
Right.
Jessica Hodgson has written the article. Are you familiar with this?
Have
you
seen
this?
Well, be careful now, because we actually got a complaint, and a lot of people don't know this, we got a complaint upheld. And,
well, all of this is
we're very sorry. We didn't mean to offend, and it was a while ago. So we are going to be very careful. Carl's getting very nervous. We're just going to read out. We're not going to editorialise, Carl. We're just going to read out what the Guardian printed about us. All right? Okay.
Comedian Ricky Gervais has had a dressing down from a broadcasting watchdog for his repeated use of the word cock in a lunchtime radio show.
That's all right. That's what
that's
it says.
That's fine.
Carl.
That's what it,
he's not going to say it again.
News.
He's not. Yeah, yeah. Go
Imagine
on.
Imagine this is the news, and
yeah.
I'm reading it.
Yeah.
The Broadcasting Standards Commission upheld a complaint against the comedian for coarse sexual innuendo
yeah.
in the programme on London station XFM. The commission acknowledged that the presenter's remarks were intended to be humorous, but took the view that the amount and detail of the coarse sexual innuendo had exceeded acceptable boundaries for broadcast, said the BSC in a statement. The complaint objected to a section in the comic's Saturday afternoon show when he discussed the different meanings of the word cock. Gervais wondered aloud whether the word was acceptable when discussing birds, but not the male sexual organ. A BSC spokesman said the comedian went on and on about it for nearly 5 minutes. XFM, a self-styled alternative radio station, said in its defence that its remit was to provide cutting-edge programmes for a youth audience. The station said the programme's brief was to include elements of alternative comedy within certain shows that would not fit within a more mainstream radio station format. In this particular show, it was not the presenter's intention to shock when they took a humorous look at how the English language could be construed in different ways within different contexts. Gervais, whose big break was on Channel 4's 11 o'clock show, has shot to household status through the portrayal of David Brent, the middle manager from hell in BBC Two's cult show, The Office.
Just in case you didn't know who I was talking about.
Yeah, he's a household name,
yeah.
But they just thought-
You might not have heard of him, but he is a household name.
Now, that's good. That's good reporting, and they're quite right about it. And just to remind people, it was when Steve said the only, bird that hasn't got a penis is the swan, and I went on about the male bird being called the cock, but I couldn't use that to mean, and, you know, it was childish, yeah. But what annoys me is, I'm sure I've heard things on, like, Radio 1 like that. Oh, what's what's her name in the morning, Sarah?
Cox.
Yeah. And, there's a DJ, like Carl,
Cox?
Yeah, so you got- Carl! What's the matter? I'm just saying.
You're just saying-
There's a pair of- DJs on,
yeah, but
you know.
We've done this.
And,
what are you talking about? We're just talking about-
names. They're just saying the names. Now, I love Cox in the morning.
You're a big fan of Cox.
Oh. And at night. What's the matter with
Come you? Come on, Carl. Alright. We've taken it. We've been- have you actually been rapped over this?
No. I don't know what-
Have you had a dressing down?
No.
When did that happen?
I don't know.
I was meant to tell you, and I never got round to it.
Okay. Thanks, then.
So don't do it again.
On XFM 104.9.
Oh,
can I just add that in case
yes.
you don't know what you know the frequency is?
Yeah, exactly.
Why did they say that? Are they not, so you know what you listen to? So you go. I'll tell you what. I like that radio station.
Yeah.
And it was XFM 104.9.
Exactly, exactly.
I listen to that again.
You listen to that. You can retune.
Yeah.
I was wondering actually, Rick. I don't,
Stay locked up this end of the dial.
True enough. I was wondering, because, you know, obviously we're still trying to campaign to get Carl into the air.
Yeah.
With the balloon, enterprise. And obviously the work's been done on that. Don't fret. Don't worry. A lot of people are asking for an update, but, you know, we'll obviously let you know when it's all going to take place.
Yeah.
But I was wondering
These
whether-
things take time.
Exactly. But I was wondering whether we should also have another kind of campaign. Some kind of campaign. Maybe one that could involve you, Rick. Because I'm obviously- No, I'm particularly concerned, Carl. I don't know how familiar you are with this. With Ricky's eating habits.
Mm.
Because he just he eats so unhealthily.
No,
come on, Rick, don't give
no,
me this.
I'm getting better now.
No, you're not getting better.
I have a smoothie every day.
Yeah, but I've told you before that's largely sugar.
No, a homemade one.
I don't care, Rick. That's not enough. It can't counteract. Right, this is Ricky Gervais's idea of healthy eating. Right, we'll be in the canteen at the BBC. He'll go. I'm going to eat healthy today, which means he'll have two slices of pizza instead of pizza and chips. That's basically that's his theory, right? And it's like, I don't know what, because he can't eat anything which is kind of, which basically doesn't sting the roof of his mouth with flavour. So like, for instance, he's always got headaches, Okay, like, that's because you just drink coffee and Coke, you never drink water, your body is dehydrated, and I said, drink a glass of water, no, boring. It's boring, water. I don't know if we were in the desert, stranded, boring. It's boring, Steve. I'll wait till the next cafe. Right, and sometimes you'll go like, oh, I'll have a salad, right? And he'll get like a feta cheese salad, right? And he'll eat the little bits of feta cheese, leave the salad. Then he goes downstairs and goes, I'm still hungry. It didn't fill me up, that salad. I go, no, what didn't fill you up was the 200 milligrams of goat cheese that you ate. That's what didn't fill you up. So I just, this should be a campaign. I don't know whether I can observe it, people could sponsor him, something. Just eat healthy, we could do it for some kind of big charity.
Fruit.
I don't think the fruit's the issue,
Rick. If you mash it, I'll eat anything.
Rick, I'm not saying that you don't eat a certain amount of fruit. I'm saying that everything else you eat is unbalanced, and it's just rich with fat, and it's awful.
Yeah.
It's sausages, it's beans. You're such a working class scum, aren't you? It's the smell of chip fat, it's all around him, do you know what I mean? It's like, even when you can't smell it, you know it's there seeping through his veins. I imagine when he was growing up, it was just chip fat.
It was.
In the house, just a big...
It was.
All constantly boiling.
It always, there was always chips on with everything,
exactly.
Yeah, or fried.
Do you want Weetabix in the morning? Deep fat fry that. It's such scum, and now it's like, oh yeah, my palate, you know, I can't eat anything, it's got no flavour, everything's got to have cheese on it, sprinkling Parmesan cheese, more Parmesan cheese, and if someone like doesn't give him like a whole tub of Parmesan cheese when you're in a restaurant, even though he's ordered like a lobster or whatever, he's like, he sort of has a go at the waiter, or like, not to their face, obviously he's too much of a coward, but he'll say to me, like, he should have left the cheese, he's so cheap with the cheese, they don't give me any cheese, he just gave you three bucketfuls, oh, it's a cheese, I should, more cheese here, it's pathetic,
so I just think
we should do something to, because I'm panicked, I'm worried,
well,
you know, I'm worried.
I started working out a little bit, I sort of work out twice or three times a week.
I don't think that's going to counteract it, Rick.
And I drink water through the night when I wake up, I'm dehydrated.
From all the booze you've just drunk?
Yeah, and I have a smoothie in the morning, don't I?
You know what my views are on the smoothies, I don't think that's counteracting.
You're anti-smoothie, you are anti-smoothie.
I don't think it's counteracting
problem,
all the
mate.
Other
You
problems.
Have got a problem. There's nothing wrong with the smoothie.
Right, fine, okay, well if you're happy to carry on as you are.
Yeah, go on.
Badly Drawn Boy, obviously, has done the soundtrack
Loving
to this
it.
New film, about a boy.
Yeah.
Which has got Hugh Grant in it. And, obviously, this current single, what's it called, the current one that's out? Silent Sign, that's currently, obviously, that's being played on XFM. But this is another track from this album, which is the soundtrack. Lots of kind of, little bits of filler, bits of musical instrumental stuff, but all of it's very nice. This is a cracking tune, track three, Something to Talk About. Sarah and Lauren have emailed in. They said they wanted something from Elliot Smith, or maybe Jimmy Webb. That's actually produced by the producer of Elliot Smith. And
is that a good, Jimmy Webb into that album?
No,
right?
We'll play that next time.
I'll play some, next week.
That's Badly Drawn Boy, though, from the soundtrack to this film About a Boy, and that's called Something to Talk About.
We've only got the stuff in the library. Do they want Four Non-Blondes? Because we've got that in the library, haven't we?
The Best of Tony Basil.
And we've got just about every song that INXS ever recorded.
Exactly. We don't play enough INXS, do
I
we?
Don't think we do, do we? No, I can't believe it. XFM 104.9 coming up. White Van Man. White Van Carl.
White Van Carl. I was obviously out with Carl last night. I realised this because we went out. There's, what's the name of that evening?
Marketplace. Extracurricular.
Extracurricular, yeah. Various XFM DJs go down there and just play an eclectic mix.
Spin some tunes off.
Absolutely. I'm thinking of doing it in a couple of weeks, Rick. And obviously, you know my turntablist skills now are pretty something to behold.
Yeah.
I tell you this, what I did an amazing mix the other day with my friend Dan. We spent 2.5 hours on it. This is how we spend our evenings now. 2.5 hours mixing from a trip hop sort of, you know, hip hop style beat into Arthur's Theme by Christopher Cross.
Great.
When you get caught between the moon and New York.
Written by four people.
Four people.
Bacharach, Carol Biasega, Christopher Cross, and a fourth one.
Absolutely.
Phone in.
If you know that.
Maybe we should.
But
who knows the fourth person credited on that tune?
If I were a prize.
700, 800. 1, 2, 3, 4. Also, someone else to phone in. Right? I saw an advert. Right, those are what toys. I think it must be. Is it because it's Easter holidays or something?
Right.
And I was watching today, and there's one of those Transformer type things, and it goes in its shield. It strikes and then goes into its shield, and it goes into a little pod. And I'm sure it was called a Bolock.
Right.
Now I must have misheard it. There's no way you can call a little kid's toy a Bolock. So, can you phone in? I'm quite willing to be wrong, it'd be very disappointing, but, you know, are people making little Bolocks for kids? No.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. 700, 800, 1234, and what was the other question?
The other question was who wrote Arthur's Theme.
Yeah.
When you get caught between the moon and New York City.
It's crazy, but it's true. Yeah.
The only thing you can do is fall in love, Carl. So I was out with Carl last night, obviously party animal, you know, he's hanging out with some of my friends. You enjoyed yourself, didn't you, Carl?
It's alright.
But you were a bit worried about Jennifer Lopez, weren't you?
Yeah.
What was the concern?
I don't really know what's going on in the pop world.
You're joking.
No.
Go on.
And I was here in the toilets, right? And I heard it playing out on the speaker, and I heard the DJ go, there you go, that's, Left Eye Lopez there.
That's not...
And I thought, it's Jennifer Lopez.
No, it's the
she had some sort of eye injury.
You thought he was breaking the news of Jennifer Lopez losing an eye by calling her Left Eye Lopez?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's genius.
Don't worry, we put him right, it's okay.
Yeah.
He slept easy.
Yeah.
But you were worried for a while, weren't you? You were anxious for a while.
I had no idea, and the thing is, I heard that on, like, Thursday, so for, like, 3 days I've been thinking...
You've been panicking.
Why she called that? Because she changed her name before, hadn't she, to J-Lo or something.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know...
Yeah.
And she got some people after her. Does she owe someone money? Keep changing her name.
That was Wobby Gabrielle and Rise.
Anyway, more music, Ray?
Oh, I'd love to.
So yeah,
what have you got lined up there, Carl?
Beta Band.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. Respect. Total
respect for that. Massive respect.
Yeah. 104.9. I'm loving this, Steve. It's a lovely day.
Yep.
We're playing some great music.
We're
playing some great tunes, aren't we?
Absolutely.
We're having some great chat.
Yeah, yeah.
So, let's carry on. Let's continue.
Well, obviously, Carl was out with me last night and he saw that I'm, you know, he knows I'm a ladies man, and that was obvious, Carl. You could see the vibe around me, couldn't you, when the chicks were talking to me? And, just remembered recently, actually, I was on a train coming back from, hometown Bristol. And I was on the train, and, this girl walks on, good-looking girl, I thought, hey, up. Largely empty carriage, I'm thinking, my luck's in. You know, cos I take every opportunity, Carl, that's the thing about me, you know, I don't choose. She was a good-looking girl, she sat down, I thought, she sat down right near me, I thought, brilliant. As, this guy comes up behind her, right, and she's, I think, oh, it's probably a boyfriend or something, sits down next to her. And I listened in on the conversation, obviously, because I'm pretending to read. It was very clever. I read the same page for hours, so I was pretending to listen. I was listening, but pretending to read. And, I realised that it's not her boyfriend or anything, it's just some guy she's met on the platform. And I'm thinking, brilliant, if she's the kind of girl who's just gonna start talking to someone, you know, on a platform, on a train, brilliant, I'm gonna be in here. Cos he was only going one stop. So I'm thinking, what's the worst that can happen? He'll nick off, you know, I'll get chatting to her, you know, and, who knows, I could join the... What's the, is there a train equivalent?
The Foot High Club.
The Foot High Club, brilliant. And, so I'm excited, you know, I'm listening in. And, they're talking, it turns out that they're both kind of, graduates, they've just finished university, or they're coming to their finals or something. And they're chatting away, you know, and he's making a couple of witticisms, you know. And she's kind of tittering at his jokes. I'm thinking, well, I'll tell you this, if she's laughing at this kind of material, I am gonna blow her away, you know, with my kind of anecdotes and wry observations, you know.
Yeah.
It was weak stuff, I gotta be honest.
Really?
He was coming out with nothing.
Yeah.
He was running on empty, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And she was loving it. So I'm thinking, brilliant, I'm gonna be right in here. And then they get moving on to higher brow things, you know, and I think she was going to study kind of Marxism or something like that, or communism, something. And she was asking him, you know, by way of conversation, she was asking him what he knew about Marxism, you know. Mm. And he was fumbling for some his vague knowledge of it that he had in his life. And I'm just sat there thinking, yeah, come on, love, in any given capitalist environment, the proletariat will revolt against their oppression by the bourgeoisie, and after a brief period of socialist rule, emerges as a classist society governed by community corporations.
Well, if that sort of talk wouldn't get a woman hot, I don't
know what
you'd use.
If Marx and Engels is not going to get a woman sweaty down below, anyway, it comes to his stop, right, he gets up, I'm thinking this is a piece of cake, and he gets off, and off he goes, he walks off, and I'm thinking, brilliant, and I thought, I'll wait, you know, I'll wait till the train's pulled away, I'm not gonna leap in straight away, and he comes back along the carriage, and I'm thinking, hang on a minute, he goes, listen, do you mind if I give you my email address, right, and if you want to get in touch, email me, I'm thinking, come on, you loser, get off now, save your face, please, before it's too embarrassing. She accepts the email address because she obviously doesn't want to hurt his feelings, whatever. I'm thinking, fair enough, she's a good woman, I'm liking her. I'm thinking, that's my kind of girl. So anyway, he gets off. I'm sat there, the train pulls away, I'm thinking, yeah, I'll wait a few minutes, you know, I'll just, you know, give it some time. Her phone rings, it's her friend on the phone. And, she starts to, and I was listening in, and she was going, yeah, just met a guy on the train. I'm thinking, yeah, that's true enough. She goes, yeah, he was a good-looking guy. I thought, you're having a laugh, love. To be honest. Because I was looking at him, and she said to her friend, he looks a bit like tennis player Boris Becker. I thought, well, you should be so lucky frankly, because I saw him, he had all full facial hair, if that's what makes him look like Boris Becker. Terrible little goatee beard, it was laughable. I thought, I don't know, and then she goes, the thing is, she's like, yeah, I met him, we got chatting and stuff, you know, and she was going, it's not often that you meet someone, you know, generally in life, who's, you know, kind of thoughtful and intelligent and funny. I thought to myself, I'm not even going to waste my time with you, love, frankly, if that's what you thought of him.
You just walked away.
And I'll be honest with you, I didn't even bother talking to her.
No, you were just
above it. I didn't even waste my time with her.
If she thinks that bloke is not only
great
looking, but funny and intelligent, and she got on well, and he was polite, and it was a chance meeting, and he thought, and she thought that you were like a freaky looking dork who didn't even have the nerve to speak.
If that is what she thinks, then I don't want to know.
You walked away, and good luck to you.
And I have my dignity intact.
Yes, and she's nothing.
Well. Coming to that time when we do White Van Man.
Absolutely, with producer Carl.
And Carl's also going to be telling us his slant on fables, on Aesop.
Absolutely.
I was out with Carl. I know I shouldn't be.
Yeah, well, I broke the rule as well.
I know, well, I was out with him from the night before, I think. And we were just chatting, and as you know, we're going to Edinburgh for a week.
Yeah, that's all three of us.
That's all three of us, yeah.
It wasn't, I just wondered for a minute there if there was some arrangement you two had made. Like next weekend, just popping up there seeing the sights.
Yeah. No, we're gonna do a week's broadcasting from the Edinburgh Festival. And, you know, and Carl's going, oh, but you lie in, don't you, and all this. And I was going, well, yeah, he's going, well, he wants to be up at 9:30 and out looking at the sights, you know what I mean? Yeah, but anyway, and I said, have you ever had haggis? And he went, it's black pudding in it. I went, no, it's mints. He went, I like mints. I went, yeah, but wait, it's mints in a sheep stomach, right? And he went, what, they force feed a sheep, then kill it? Imagine that, Carl.
It makes sense, though, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't make sense. They force feed a sheep mints, and then kill it till its stomach's nice and full, and they go, oh, this one's full, kill it, before it starts digesting it. Of course they don't. It's a membrane, they've... And the other one, he was talking about, like, he likes Richmond Park. He goes, I like to see all the deers. I went, it's deers, plural, you don't need to say. Deers. I try and educate whenever I can.
What's that one?
I said, the deer is already pulled. Yeah, deer is, yeah. I said, you know, like sheep or fish, so you can say fishes. And, we were laughing at us. I said, do you know the, plural of, mongoose? Because a lot of people think it would be mongoose. It's not, it's mongooses. Do you know what Carl said?
Plural of mongoose.
Mongoose, yes.
Plural of mongoose?
It's worth a competition. No, it's not, no.
No, go on.
Carl, what did you think the plural of mongoose was?
Mongs.
Play a record after this White Van Man.
Do you want to play,
Oh, let's play a bit of Dylan, yeah. This is a beautiful track. It's Just Like a Woman. Well, I think that's a beautiful record. It's by Bob Dylan, and it's Just Like a Woman. And Carl went, he's got his headphones on, so he's speaking a bit loud.
The harmonica's playing.
In a whiny Manc accent, when the harmonica's going, that's an annoying sound, Matt, isn't it? God.
Oh, bless
Bob Dylan there. An annoying sound there.
Did you hear about-
The annoying sound of Bob Dylan, like a new album.
Yeah.
Just that sort of sound always reminds me of, a one-man band.
Yeah.
Have you heard the story about Leo Sayer with his song One Man Band?
No.
Years ago, what year was, oh, God.
I'm in the mood for dancing?
What's the song that he did about a one-man
band? I'm a one-man band, it was called.
Right, yeah.
Funnily enough.
Yeah, he did that, one-man band, and he was playing it at the Dominion Theatre.
Yeah.
And apparently, whenever he played, he sort of sang this song, he got the audience involved, and the line in it was, I'm a one-man band.
Nobody knows or understands. Is there anybody there who can lend me a hand to my one-man band?
He said that, and what he used to do, he used to reach out.
Oh, yeah.
And grab people's hands, and then he'd walk down the middle. Anyway, he said, well, anyone lend me a hand? He stuck his hand out, grabbed like a hand, and was walking down, everyone looked horrified, and some woman, who had like a plastic hand, it had come off. And he was walking down the middle of like Dominion Theatre with his plastic hand in his hand. And he said, oh, that's a moment I won't forget.
He knows how to tell a story, Leo Sayer.
Right, well it's time for White Van Man, which is where we ask Carl the questions that the Sun asks someone else.
Exactly.
It's an article in there where they ask them, you know, typical man on the street, the big questions of the day, gives them their platform to the nation, and we think this is just too good to let out, because we only care about one person's opinion in the country now.
That's true enough, he's the K-man, and there he is.
There he is, right.
Carl, your thoughts, please, on Kylie Minogue slagging off Britney Spears for ignoring her fans at her premiere. Are you aware of that story?
No.
She got booed at her premiere of her new film, Britney, because she'd left her fans waiting for like an hour. Some of them had travelled up from Bristol, other parts of the country.
3,000 of them.
Loads of them screaming for her. She just went straight into the theatre an hour late, just gave them a quick wave and straight in. Didn't even bother to shake their hands, sign any autographs. So they were booing.
What do you think of that, Carl?
And Kylie's obviously said that was actually outrageous, you know, and you should treat your fans with respect. What do you make of it?
So she did wave, then.
Yeah, but literally as she was walking into the theatre.
Was it raining?
No, I don't think it was.
He's like a defence lawyer.
Yeah.
But he hasn't really read the brief.
he's just winging it.
Judge's first stroke, was it raining? No? Oh, shit, I was relying on that.
She running late for the start of the film?
Yes, but that's her own fault. I mean, the people are inside. They're not going to start the film without her. It's Britney Spears.
Yeah.
She could take some time out. You know, when Tom Cruise came here, he spent like an hour and a half shaking people's hands, talking to people on their mobile phones, all sorts. That's Tom Cruise. He's a bigger name than Britney.
I know, but...
He's a smaller person, but he's a bigger name.
What do people want from people? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
an autograph, things like that, a photo.
This one's going nowhere, Steve. Is there another one?
Fair enough.
I'd, it's not bad. If she had more time, she might have done it. I bet she would have done it on another day. I mean, I'm not feeling too good today. I mean...
But you're going to still take time out to sign people's autographs, surely, when you leave the building.
Yeah, there's always a bit of a crowd, isn't there?
Next.
Go on.
What do you make of New York's ex-police chief saying we need more Bobbies on the beat? He's come over here, he's the guy that sorted out crime in New York City, he's come over here, he said you're going all over the place here, you need more Bobbies on the beat, more policemen, more a visible police presence.
There was something last week about some copper in London who was sat on a bench, and he was asleep or something.
Oh, yeah.
And people were, like, outraged because, like, he should be looking after, you know, England's people, not nodding off on a park bench. Which is a bit daft because-
They were shouting he should be looking after England's people.
Yeah. Was
this the 16th century you went back to? What do you mean that he should be looking after England's people?
You know, wherever he was, if he was in, like, a park somewhere,
yeah.
they were really annoyed because he was asleep. But
sure.
He
would probably be undercover.
But the thing is, if there would have been any trouble, I'm sure he would have woke up.
Yeah.
If there was any sort of, if someone needed help and they screamed, he would have woke up. So I don't know why they were having a go at him.
Yeah, and he might not have been there at all. So you know, it was he probably have his radio turned on, didn't he?
Yeah,
listening to Heart.
So you're not concerned then that there's not the crime's going up?
I think there's enough. I see quite a lot of them whizzing around.
Okay, you're happy then?
Yeah,
as long as you're happy, Carl.
So you don't think it's too much crime?
No.
Just the right amount of crime.
Yeah.
What about the fact that new gambling laws give Blackpool the green light to become a British Las Vegas? What do you make of that? Are you a gambler?
Little bit when I go on holiday, like going in the arcade and having a little flutter.
Sure.
What's your favourite?
I have a go on the, you know, the fruit machines.
Yeah.
There's a good one called The Simpsons.
Right.
Is that your favourite?
Yeah, it's quite good.
Is that a tie-in with the TV show The Simpsons?
Yeah.
Okay.
Will they make Blackpool the next Vegas? I don't think so.
No, nor
can't
do I.
Can't see it happening.
No. You been to Blackpool?
Yeah.
What was it?
It's a bit rank.
Is it?
It is a bit rough. Needs a lot of work doing on it.
Yeah.
No, that won't happen.
Okay.
And you're not worried about this encouraging gambling, generally? Gambling's not a vice you're concerned about.
If you're a gambler, you're a gambler. Do you know what I mean? If Blackpool isn't done up, they'll go somewhere else to have a flutter.
Sure.
So it's not going to make any difference.
Okay.
No.
Okay, it's really good. And what do you make of the So Solid crew's Ashley Walters being jailed for 18 months? Obviously not a very good example to his young fans.
He should have got more.
Do you think?
I had a dream about him the other night.
Go on.
About the group itself.
Okay.
I had a dream that-
Were they all there? Because there's a lot of them. I couldn't remember all their faces to feature in a dream.
I had a t-shirt on.
He had etc.
I had a t-shirt on.
You had a t-shirt on?
Yeah, and it said on my t-shirt, So Solid Poo. And I was walking down the street and they came towards me.
Wow.
That's a great dream.
That's amazing.
That's an amazing
I love
dream.
That. That's, we've
For
all
a
had,
30-year-old.
We've all had that anxiety dream. Oh my goodness. What if I meet the So Solid crew and I'm wearing a t-shirt that slags them off?
Oh, I don't believe it. Yeah. You know, yeah.
So what happened? Did you get beaten up in the dream?
It was one of them where I woke up. Do you know, I've been telling you that I keep getting them things where you feel like you're falling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was the same sort of thing. It's
you know I'm not a real psychiatrist, don't you? You should, you know
no,
what I mean?
You do know a lot about a lot.
Yeah, I do, thanks very much.
And, you know, if I'm at home talking to Suzanne about something and I don't know the answer, I think, right, I'll ask Ricky that one soon.
Thanks.
But you know that, I think you might have mentioned before that apparently if you die in a dream, it means that you're dying in real life.
Yeah, yeah, well that's it, if you don't-
But apparently if you get beaten up by the So Solid crew in a dream, it means you're being beaten up by them in real life.
Yeah, that is true.
So you probably won't a lot of people have been joking.
Yeah.
Terrifying, absolutely terrifying.
So yeah, lock him up for longer.
Okay. Okay. Finally, what do you make of Halle Berry becoming the first black woman to win the Best Actress Oscar? Did you see her speech?
Got on my nerves.
Did it?
I mean, you know, it's good that she won. You know, it's nice for anyone to win an award.
Yeah.
But she did go on a bit. And, you know, I've been in that same sort of position.
What? Placing an Oscar?
Well, I got, what they used to do at school is,
okay.
If you did a full month without being off, you got a gold certificate.
Okay.
And I did a month once without having a day off. And sure. I went up and I didn't make a fuss.
But
you didn't start crying.
Got a play record, mate.
Well done then. Were you the first kid in your school to do that?
I don't think anyone else got the certificate. It was only because I was never in. They tried to encourage me.
It was just for you. They mounted an entire ceremony just to encourage you.
Wise words there from Bella Sebastian on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Steve Merchant. Hi, Steve.
Well, I mean, it is indeed wise words, Rick. I'm worried that people are going to get out of the office now and into the sunshine, not be listening to the show.
There's always the transistor radio.
That's true enough.
Heading
down to the park, take
well,
it along.
It is time.
Keep it low, though. Don't want to irritate other people.
No, yeah. And if you do want to irritate them, spit on them, it's better.
Exactly.
And kick them and throw little rocks.
Exactly.
With me, Carl Kamen Pilkington. We are now... We're into this, way into the second month of the education of Carl. As you know, Carl got one GCSE in history, an E, and, we've been cramming, haven't we?
Oh, Rick, before you mention that, can I just say something? Obviously we always do this thing with the Sun, White Van Man, where we read this thing out from the Sun and query, Carl. And I was out with some friends last night, and my friend Dan always listens to the show, and he said, Carl, you know, I love the bit when you answer the questions in the Sun. Why, do you ever know what the questions are before they're asked, or is that your first answer? And, Carl said, no, that is it. They don't let me see what the questions are first. They don't show them to me, and I always get really anxious and really get paranoid. And I was just wondering, have you seen the error there, Carl? Have you seen the mistake you've been making? Right? You're worried that you didn't get the questions beforehand, right?
Well, how could you
maybe combat that, do you think?
How could you combat that if you're really nervous, you know, coming
maybe you
to
wanted
vote?
To sort of have some views or ideas beforehand?
It's your error, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's your show if you want to, like, take a chance with me.
No, it's the point is this, that if you're really worried about that, how could you get hold of those questions in advance? Is there any way you could get hold of those questions in advance?
Yeah, but is it always in today's? Is it always in Saturdays?
Yes.
So they don't do that every day of the week?
They do, but I always take it from this Saturdays.
Right, well, yeah, I could, but that would cost me money. I'm not on enough as it is,
sure.
Working here on Saturday.
Okay.
How much is the Sun?
30p.
Yeah, well.
You're not made of money.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
Actually, it's 40p on a Saturday, I don't know what I was thinking.
Well, you were studying Aesop's Fables, weren't you, this week? Now, I'm gonna be very liberal here. And let you talk about it. It's not a test. I'm not, hey man, just like chill out. I'm not this like rigid sort of, you know, box in society. Just tell us your views. Just tell us your vibe on Aesop. Tell us something. What have you learnt from these fables?
He, made a bit of money out of something that's quite simple.
Yeah, I don't know if he did make any money out of it. I mean, I think it was published like thousands of years after his death, but go on.
Yeah, they're just little stories. I mean, enjoyed them.
Yeah.
Didn't learn anything from him.
Okay. Or did you, you see? Because it's teaching through sort of like metaphor and analogy, and maybe it all seeps in and it's all subliminal, and maybe in a way your subconscious
it's
is teaching you.
No, it's silly, Rick. It's silly.
If the stories were done in like a real way, that there's like a man and a woman, and it's a little story that something happened to them in life, then you learn something. But it's all about, you know, a gorilla and a fox are walking through the woods. How often does that happen?
Sure. So you're saying if it was more like
if it was more true to life,
if it was more like
real stories, like you know a kid on his grifter and a magpie pecking at his head, or two frog boys with webbed hands. I mean, if it was real stories from real life
that people could believe, actually happened.
Maybe you know it would teach us something.
But why not do that? Like take a real situation, say like the So Solid crew guy,
yes,
going down for carrying a gun. Use that in some way. Do you know what I mean?
As a warning, maybe about carrying guns?
What about something like, if you carry guns and that is illegal, you could have some sort of punishment?
Yeah, that's
good.
So,
yeah,
so it doesn't bother you then that the fact that these fables have been used for many, many generations to educate maybe young children or even older people, the fact that they've served a brilliant function and they've become classics, that doesn't bother you? You've seen through them?
Well, they don't always work. Okay. When I was out with Rick the other day, he brought one up.
I told him the one about the two mice, the industrious mouse who, throughout the summer, he would be storing berries, nuts and berries, and he'd be storing it, and the other ones would just be eating off the trees and running around and having a laugh, and they go, well, you're gonna become hungry, and we go, oh, I'll worry about that when it comes to it, and they'd do that, and he'd be storing his nuts and berries, and autumn came, and the mouse was still playing and not doing anything, and then winter came, and the silly mouse was, like, shivering, and he went and knocked on the mouse's door, and went, I'm freezing, and I'm starving, and the clever mouse said, well, I told you, didn't I? You know, you should have been storing your nuts through winter like I did, come in and share mine. You know. And, what did you say, Carl?
Well, and the moral of that is, whatever.
Just be careful. But my thing is that it's not very good, because the moral of that is, do what you want, and there's always a do-gooder, or a chair there.
Yeah, so, that's right, sure.
Yeah.
But the way I, you know, I think, which is more sort of 2002, the ending should have been, you know, the guy with all the berries should have, like, been like, yeah, no, I'll be alright come the winter. I've got loads of food, I'll be safe. But then, as he's going into his little hut at the beginning of the winter, some sort of bus or something comes and kills him. Right. And it's like...
You should have partied hard, because you might die.
Yeah. Enjoy life whilst you've got it.
Yeah. Okay, and if winter comes, just starve to death.
Well, you know, worry about tomorrow tomorrow.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. See, I'm wondering if there's a new book here. I really am wondering if there's a Carl's Fables.
He's been coming out with some all week. He keeps going, well, that's a fable, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what's your favourite fable in there? Have you learned anything from this book? You know, is there one fable you liked?
Yeah, I mean, they're all alright.
What did you like?
You're throwing it on me now, there.
Didn't you like one about a crab, you said?
No, that was the one about messing about on a cliff edge or something. Mess about on a cliff edge.
Well, what was that?
I don't know. There's not many around here, so I didn't take much interest in that one. You know what I mean?
God.
I'm
doing my best here. I'm
dying. You don't remember anyone?
Here's one. Yeah, here's one that was quite nice. There was a belly, you know, like your stomach.
Yeah.
And it's this belly on a pair of legs. And the legs were saying, I'm more important than you because I carry you around. And the belly said, yeah, but, you know, if it weren't for me holding all this food, you wouldn't have the energy to walk around.
Yeah.
And that means, like, you know, rather than working on your own, it's best to work in a team.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the one similar to that I was taught when I was little was, a vision of, heaven and hell. And, it went down to hell, and in hell, right, there was these, people had, like, 20-foot-long, chopsticks.
Yeah.
And they were getting their food, and they couldn't get the chopsticks into the food and get it round their mouth because they were just too long.
Right.
Right, and that was how. And in heaven, they had exactly the same thing, but they were feeding each other.
What? Right.
You don't like Chinese food? Is that what you're concerned? Is that what your concern is, Carl?
No, I'm just...
The one I remember, I can't remember the ending, but it's about two nuns in a bath.
Yeah, oh, I know.
I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, that's it,
Or is it, are they on a bike?
That's two adventures, it's the same nuns, but they go to all sorts of adventures.
Quite erotic adventures,
though. Well, they are, there's one where they're driving down a cobbled street.
I'm Ricky Gervais, with me, Steve Merchant, and Carl. Well, Carl, I really don't think you got your teeth into the fables, really. I don't think you...
There wasn't anything to learn. I read a couple, thought, yeah, that's alright. And put it down again. There wasn't anything to learn. It was all stuff I knew already. But made up with nice little foxes and bears and stuff. So...
Yeah. But that one about, like, that one we spoke about, like, when the hares are going, we should share all our food, and the lion said, that's a good argument, but you haven't got, it hasn't got the teeth and claws that we've got. That's lovely. Because it's sort of like, you know, that's an indictment on... sort of, you know, you could say it's an anti-equality almost, you know, you could get really sort of deep into that, you know what I mean? You could, no?
Big philosophical ideas in a nutshell, not interesting?
No, not really.
Okay then, well, you're gonna hate this then, I've brought in the Concise Oxford Dictionary of Quotations. Now just look at some of your favourites, I'd suggest going to, straight to things like, Wilde, or, Newton, or Churchill, or,
You're a big fan of Churchill.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, well, he's the boy. Yeah, like, right, okay, let's, go through that old Cromer, blah, blah. Newton, Right, right, here's a famous one, okay? This is Isaac Newton. If I have seen further, it is by standing on the shoulders of giants.
Do you like that one?
So there's a meaning in it?
Yeah.
Well, he hasn't actually stood on the shoulders of giants.
So remember, he's an amazing, inventor and mathematician, and he discovered the incredible, laws of the universe, and he's saying, yeah,
if you want a good view, move into a multi-story.
he's saying, if I have seen further than the people, and he's being modest here, it's because I've stood on the shoulders of giants to get that view.
If it weren't for all the people that have come before him, with their great insight and knowledge, he wouldn't have seen what he's seen.
He's taken his learnings, and those people have given him
say that? Instead of making up, that's what I've got a problem with. People don't
poetry,
say what they mean.
Poetry, art, and...
In life, though, people never say what they actually mean, and, you know, there's loads of books on it. I don't know.
But the point is that he's just summarised quite a tricky idea, beautifully.
It's beautiful, that gets into you much deeper than just the words, just the literal words, you know what I mean?
One of my favourites is from an American novelist, and the quote is, talking about the subject of fame and being famous, fame is a mask that eats into the face. Don't you think that's amazing?
Meaning?
Well, meaning that fame is something that is artificial, that you wear initially, you become famous, but it's ethereal, it's nothing, it's intangible, it's just an artifice. But if you stay famous long enough, you begin to think that mask you're wearing is really your real face. So that you begin to, you know, think that you are more than you perhaps are. Do you see what I mean? In the way that fame and power can corrupt.
I know who said that.
No, it's an American novelist, I forget his name.
Yeah, it's alright, yeah, it's something like that. Yeah. Pick another one, right?
Yeah, let's have a look. Bernard Shaw, he's no slouch.
When you take this book of quotations home, Carl, you should maybe just draw up maybe a list of three or four of your favourites
Wilde, I look at Shakespeare as well, you know, he's...
Are you a fan of Shakespeare?
No.
Go on, what's your problem with it?
Just, the way they speak. I can't follow it.
Yeah. And do you like West Side Story?
It's really old as well, I can't relate to it. It's like years and years ago, isn't it? That's why I like Churchill. Because...
1940s.
Yeah.
Look at this, this is Shaw, okay? There are two tragedies in life. One is not to get your heart's desire, the other is to get it.
Again, how would you see that? In your little...
Well, that's one homework then. I'll mark that, that's your homework. You've got to work that out. You've got to tell me what you think of it.
Say again?
Don't ask Suzanne. It's there. Right. There are two tragedies in life. One is not to get your heart's desire. The other is to get it. Okay? Take that home with you. And we'll be hearing Carl come up with some amazing quotations next week.
Yeah, pick out your favourites.
Now I'd like to play a song for the lovers while he's thinking.
No, I don't think we've got the lovers lined up.
Oh, what have we got?
A bit of hip-hop. It's Hip-Hop Hooray.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, everyone's a big fan. I played something from this last week. It's this new album from Nerd, In Search Of. It's been re-recorded by the lads. I don't know why. And anyway, it's particularly good. We played last week, Things Are Getting Better. This is the one we have played in the past, actually. Bobby James.
Doves, there goes the fear on XFM 104.9. Well, just read that book anyway. This is one of a beautiful, it's Keats, right? What do you think of this? A thing of beauty is a joy forever. Its loveliness increases. It will never pass into nothingness.
See, this is just like how it was at school now. The last couple of weeks have been quite interested in what you've been giving me. Now it's really like,
okay.
I really don't care.
Now what about this? I did philosophy, and philosophy is obviously the quest for knowledge, and look, listen to this, though. This is what Keats came out with. Philosophy will clip an angel's wings. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Don't be constrained by what's, you know, dream a little, you know what I mean? Just go beyond... I don't agree with it, but it's a lovely bit of poetry.
Yes.
Yeah? So you're gonna read that for me, are you, Carl? Yeah?
Yeah.
Just pick out five of your favourites.
Yeah.
The ones that mean something to you.
And then next week I'll bring in pictures of animals.
Brilliant.
Okay?
We'll do it.
Okay, and some sweets.
Rick, I've had a word with some of the top brass here. Or they had a word with me in the corridor. If you remember when
who are you?
Pretty much, yeah. Oi, Four Eyes. And, they said they were saying that, you know, obviously you enjoyed the show, they love it. And, they're just worried, though, that in the early days when we started the show, remember, we were a lot more informative. We used to do the film reviews, there was things like the gig guide and stuff
like that.
Which we've kind of let go by the side.
Yeah, so, they want us to bring that.
Well, exactly, so I just
wanted... No, the gig guide. I was worried that
Funnily enough, the XFM Gig Guide, does not include some of the biggest bands in the world.
Okay, alright.
Or some of the best venues. That's what worried me.
Don't, look, Rick, but just do what you're told, alright?
Oh,
there's the gig guide.
Is it got
big,
better?
It's got a lot
Am
of
I gonna
big
be impressed?
On. You're gonna love the gig guide.
I need
week.
A bet if this is gonna be pretty impressive.
Let's play the proper jingle.
Okay. Okay. Ah, tonight, if you wanna, if you wanna see these two bands in a small venue, get down to the Metro Bar on Oxford Street. Doors are at 8 p.m. and tickets are only £6 to see Ten Benson and Beach Buggy.
Alright?
Now, if you missed Longwave supporting the Strokes at Brixton Academy last night, you can catch them headlining Casino Royale at the Monarch.
Rick, I missed them last night. How much will I be paying for that?
You'll only be paying £5, right? But listen, they're also supported by Shelby and I Remember Nothing.
Brilliant.
Now, people know about the Brixton Academy, but a little-known venue in Brixton is the Windmill. And
okay.
you're going to see three great bands there tonight. Guapo,
okay.
Plonkez, and Mechanical Beatles Never Quite Warm. So, Orange Goblin and Grand Magus play the Garage, and, Diefenbach and Sudden play the Rotar Sessions at Nine Hills Arts Club. So that's the gig guide, next FM.
What a load of rubbish. I mean, switch off the jingle, look at this. We've discussed this before, haven't we? Names for bands that will never be anything.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome to the stage, Mechanical Beatles Never Quite Warm. Please welcome to the stage, Plankwez. Please welcome to the stage, Orange Goblin. Oh, goodness me. Look at it.
Oh, God. Orange Goblin. Orange Goblin.
It's so rubbish.
What's his name? Got a fake tan, hasn't he? That one of his supermarket sweep. What's his name?
Dale Winton.
Dale Winton, yeah.
Supporting REM, I Remember Nothing. Never gonna happen. please, come on people, think.
Hey, here's a band that plays big venues. Doesn't make them better, sure, but this is Radiohead. This is Song for the Lovers and Let Down off OK Computer. This is beautiful. See, a thing of beauty is a joy forever. Doesn't that move you at all, Carl? Apparently we missed a gig on that gig guide. Drip Feed are playing the Rock Garden on the 21st of this month.
Excellent.
So, the lead singer just called in with that. And he also, left a quote with me, Coleridge said of Keats, wasn't it? He's, like an archangel slightly damaged.
Rick, I'm worried we're getting a little bit highbrow.
Do you reckon?
Have you got any knob gags you could do, quickly? Because I'm just thinking we're switching, there's a lot of people that are going to be turning off. I mean, currently on Capital FM, Chris Tarrant and Dr. Neil Fox, together at last. The partnership
at last,
always
they
wanted.
Said it would never happen. Do you know what I'd like to see together? That breakfast DJ, Sarah
Cox.
And who's the dancer? Carl.
Carl Cox.
Carl, please, why are you getting suddenly saying these rude words? We've been reprimanded once,
don't
Carl.
Don't say
please.
That. And don't say it so aggressively, because it sounds like you're saying Cox aggressively.
Come on, we've been reprimanded. Yeah. Alright? Just don't use language like that.
That's annoying me.
Come on.
Why is it annoying you?
Because
we're talking about DJs, that's their names.
But you try to be clever.
I hardly think that's clever.
Yeah, if that's my best attempt at being clever.
I've got rubbish homework this week.
Okay, he's really upset about
really
this.
Upset.
He was looking forward to animal facts.
You said you were going to bring in that big book, 500
It's
animals.
So... I got it off one of those bargain books.
So
I thought it'd be easy, right? Because but it's too elementary.
No, but that's more useful than that to me.
But it's things like the tortoise has a shell to protect it.
That's good.
Yeah, but you know-
Because you thought it was there just to be painted on the tip.
have you ever peeled a tortoise? They fly, they go about 400 miles an hour. It's to weigh them down because they're the fastest lizards known to man.
Exactly.
Honestly, they run so fast they can go through walls.
Yeah.
And so their shells put on them in the hospital, in the maternity ward, at a very early age, just slow them down. You let a tortoise shell and you won't catch it.
Steve, do you know that turtles can breathe out of the bum?
Turtles can breathe out of their bum. I know someone who can talk out of it, but didn't realise that.
Tell us about that. Tell us about that. How do they do that?
That's all I know. When they go swimming, they can sort of, if they don't want to stick their head out, they can just...
stick their arse out.
Yeah. Why don't they want to stick their head out?
I don't know. Just if, I don't know, maybe they need to be looking for food under the water.
Yeah.
And if they stick their head up to get some air, they might miss something.
Wouldn't it be easier to have an arse that could forage for food? So they could sort of like lounge in the pool like a jacuzzi and they're looking around going, alright, hello, hiya, and meanwhile its arse is like munching Grass.
Yeah, bad
Wouldn't
breath.
That be easier?
Bad breath.
Well, I wish I understood what that meant.
Yeah.
In all this
it's
hilarity,
like a quote, isn't it?
But in all that this hilarity, I'm worried we've forgotten the true meaning of Easter. No, come on, Rick, come on, come on. You're just, you know, you're being frothy and lightweight and a little bit rude. But you know, it's a time for remembering
and chocolate
that someone did die for our sins.
Yeah.
So can we just
be ashamed to disappoint him?
Yeah. Can we just think about that and just take a moment just to consider that?
Yeah, can we do that?
All right.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You understand the true meaning of Easter. It's not just about eggs and bunnies. You understand it, don't you?
Yeah.
What's your memory of it? What's your understanding of it, Carl? Easter. What's it all about for you?
What did you have to do at school? Did you have to do anything at school?
I think we got a long weekend off.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
What did they call that weekend?
Easter weekend.
Brilliant.
Okay, and what was the reason for that? Why do we have Easter weekend off?
Jesus.
Yeah, but what did he do?
He put himself on the cross.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Well, he didn't put himself on.
No.
Does it mean anything to you? Are you moved by that story?
Again, too long ago for me to sort of.
Okay.
You know.
To worry about
to it.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, if there'd have been an Anderson shouter involved.
Yeah.
You'd have been there, wouldn't you? You're not well today, are you, Carl?
Not at all. Don't know what's wrong with me today. I've got a bit of a temperature.
Have you?
Do you know Steve? Like, you know, he's always having a go at me. Last night when we were out with his mates,
They
said he was a bit of a hypochondriac himself.
Did they?
Yeah.
What did they say? What were they saying?
He said, I said, Steve's told me he's not feeling well. You know, is he alright? You live with him? He said, oh, don't worry about that.
Really?
So he's always saying that, and I said, that's a bit of a fable. I said, cry wolf.
Yeah, one day you say, I've got a temperature, and they go, well, I've had the Lemsip, and he'll die.
Yeah.
Well, I've learnt my lesson.
Yeah. There was one about the boy cried wolf. The moral can surely only be never tell the same lie twice. You know what I mean? Because if he'd have, like, come up with a different one, he'd have kept him going all year, I reckon.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I never thought of it like that before.
What are we going to play?
A final tune. We got a bit of suede, haven't we?
Well, it depends.
Let's get a bit of suede in and song for the ladies. Let's go over. It's only the football.
Don't say that. Yeah, I'll give us your song.
What's the football? What's the match? What's this? The gig guide is Long Wave and Guapo and Plankos. What's this? What's the football match? What are the football matches XFM covering?
Don't know. What song would you like?
Track 8.
The Bolton versus Barnsley.
You don't like sport though, do you? A lot of people who do.
Huh?
A lot of people who do. Right, track 8, what are we going for then?
We're going for, it's a bit of Stevie Wonder.
Yeah?
And I think it's quite a short song though, Carl. Are you sure?
No, that's cool, yes.
It's okay. You're okay, are you?
Yeah.
So this is the final song,
This lost a lot of energy, this show.
This is it.
I mean, the first hour and 40 minutes I think was dynamite. I think the last 10 have been flagging.
But Carl, he was full of life, you know, he was answering the questions and stuff, and now you've
lost it. We got fed up with the quotations. He didn't like us mentioning Radio 1 DJs such as Sarah
Cox
and Carl.
Oh, Cox?